So you're with the Resistance?
Hello, what have we here?
I'm a big deal in the Resistance.
Hey everyone, welcome back to Resistance Radio. It's episode 121, and this week's show is all about what to look forward in 2019. And a look back at a little bit at 2018. As always, I am Mikey B, and I'm joined by my co-host, Caitlin. What's up, Caitlin?
Oh, nothing too much, you?
Oh, not much. Back at it, you know? And we also have Ben joining us this week. Hey, Ben, welcome back.
Hello, it's good to be back. It's been too long.
A while.
Get it? It's been too long. Oh, ah, whoa. Bad jokes
I've
already.
Never heard that before.
Oh, I know, God. Right? Anyway, if you want to get involved in the conversation, you can get a hold of us on Twitter at @rradiopodcast, leave a comment on our Facebook page, send us an email through our website, resistanceradio.net, or leave a comment on this post when it goes up on hypeable.com. Today's podcast is brought to you by audible.com. Get a free audiobook download and a 30-day free trial at audibletrial.com/resistanceradio. With over 180,000 titles to choose from for your iPhone, Android, Kindle, or MP3 player, get the latest Star Wars audiobook for free. We've also launched our Patreon. Check it out at patreon.com/resistanceradiopodcast. Some really cool perks are joining us in our Discord chat, our recording studio, movie nights, and After Dark episodes. If you can't afford to support us via Patreon, we also have merchandise available for sale on our website at resistanceradio.net. T-shirts and button packs are also available. And if you are going to Star Wars Celebration this year, hit me up on Twitter or Donya on Twitter. I believe she's going to be there, and we will have merchandise to hand out, to sell, all the fun stuff that are going to be really cool. Anyway, I think it's time for the news. So it's been a while since we've done an episode, and I've kind of curated, I guess you would say, the news that was going to tie into our topic this week, so we can go over it and then kind of just devolve into, or not devolve, but like really talk about the topics that we really want to be excited for in 2019. 2018 was an interesting year for Star Wars for a couple different reasons, but we'll dive into that when we get to our spotlight topic. So, very first bit of news, as one of my favorite things that has come out in the last couple weeks, is Diego Luna, who played Cassian Andor, is returning as the lead character in a new Star Wars spinoff streaming service. So on Disney Plus, which is Disney's upcoming streaming service, there will be a prequel to Rogue One, A Star Wars Story. So we'll have something in the time frame that the Darth Vader comic
is. It's not
going
to be a sequel.
Well, I don't know. We just saw him like looking off into the sunset with Jin. Maybe he is alive.
Yeah.
Like seriously, what are you trying to say, Ben?
There was no true on-screen death. We didn't see him dead.
Uh-huh. And we know what happens with what happened to Darth Maul. What happened to Darth Maul?
Right.
He only fell down a big old thing and was cut in half, but he survived.
Yeah.
See? I'm right. You know it. Anyway,
yeah,
who knows?
No, you're right. Yeah.
So at this point, you know, we have Disney Plus is going to be launching sometime this year. Disney has stated that. There's a new TV series that we know called The Mandalorian, and we have this new series that's going to feature Diego Luna that's going to take place before Rogue One. So it's going to take place in that same timeline as Star Wars Rebels, the TV series, and kind of the same time as the Darth Vader comic. So we have some really cool stuff that's going to probably overlap, some characters from TV shows and comics that may make their way into this. But it's going to follow Diego Luna and probably, I'm assuming, K2SO. What do you guys think about this? You excited? No?
Caitlin?
I was waiting for Ben to go. Oh, we're a little rusty.
Gosh, we're too polite.
I'm Canadian. I have to be.
Sure.
No excitement. I'm super excited about this.
I'll
be honest with you. Okay, well, tell me why you're excited, Ben. Tell me why.
I'm excited because we're finally going to get more of K2SO, hopefully, because I thought he was far and away the best part of Rogue One. Do they know if anybody else other than Diego Luna is coming back?
It hasn't stated. They haven't stated anything. Doesn't mean that we won't get more news in the next coming weeks. They haven't even announced a director for this. They have announced that this is going to be a new series. My guess is it will probably start in fall or winter.
I think they said they're supposed to start filming this year.
Yeah, maybe that's what it is. Maybe they'll start filming this year and it'll be released sometimes next year. But it does say that production will begin this year.
It, like, after episode 9 leaves theaters, they could drop this, you know, a little over a year from now, maybe.
Yeah, we'll can see, you know, who knows when this is going to happen. The nice part is it will definitely be something that is, you know, in development and another thing to watch. I will tell you, as we kind of go through the news, a lot of the really exciting news, because we do know that here, we'll just jump into the next piece. Clone Wars and Mandalorian is going to be, Clone Wars and the Mandalorian will arrive in 2019 on the new Disney streaming service. So if we talk about that real quick. So the new season of Clone Wars, which if you haven't watched Clone Wars series, I would definitely encourage you to watch all the Clone Wars. It ended back in 2012, but they have said that they're going to bring it back to do one final season to kind of complete the story of the Clone Wars series. And that is going to show up exclusively on Disney Plus, along with The Mandalorian, which is headed up by Jon Favreau of Iron Man and Swingers. So, yeah, Disney Plus is going to be something that, like, you just have to subscribe to if you're a Star Wars fan. Beyond if a Disney can. Fan. I know, like, you just can't not subscribe to Disney Plus. I'm, like, really excited
making,
about it.
Well, they're making actually, sure that they take all of our money. Like, that's...
I quite easily cannot subscribe because it will not be available in Canada. At least not at the beginning.
Yeah, you might have to just say that you live in Kentucky with me and log in that way, Caitlin. I'm sorry. Like, that's just... it's going to have to be. I can't imagine them not having a service rollout worldwide because it's all their own property.
And when it first was kind of, or not so first announced, but back in the fall when I was looking into it, if I understand correctly, it was not initially going to be released in Canada, but maybe it, like a year later it would be. I think they were probably going to test it. Yeah, they were going to like test in the States and then expand. But I'm not sure if my memory's failing me. It might have even meant, like, because in the same article it was talking about Hulu coming to Canada. And I'm not sure if
they might. They might have Hulu move the content for you guys. Because the weird thing is, like, if, you know, I can shed a little light on streaming rights if you're not familiar with it. But, you know, like Netflix in Canada and Europe and different countries shows different content than it does in the US, and Hulu and other streaming services in different countries have different content. That's because the studio that owns it will sell streaming rights and distribution rights to different companies, which will handle the distribution and the streaming services, you know, who gets what when. Disney, the nice part with these shows, like The Clone Wars and Mandalorian, they are making those shows right now, so they haven't given distribution rights or they haven't sold those distribution rights anywhere yet. I can't imagine them selling those off to, you know, keeping those on Disney Plus only, which means they're essentially selling them to themselves in the U.S. only, and then not letting the rest of the world see this content. It has to either be, they're probably going to sell distribution rights to something like Hulu or something else that will come to Canada and Europe, because you definitely know that they want this content to be seen. Otherwise, they're just going to face the problems that all media does, where they're going to end up having people pirate it, which they don't want. They'd rather make money off of it. So I'm sure it'll show up in some way or other. But for the U.S., it's definitely going to be Disney Plus.
Yep. That's going to cost a lot of Republic credits.
Okay.
That's all.
All right. speaking of the Mandalorian, we've gotten a lot of news lately. So we do know that, you know, like I said, Jon Favreau's live-action series, The Mandalorian, but Carl Weathers has been named to be in, what do you call it, in The Mandalorian, along with Nick Nolte and Pedro Pascal and Gina Carano? I don't know who Gina Carano is. Maybe you guys know better than I. So this cast is definitely shaping up to be a pretty well-known cast. Carl Weathers, he played Apollo Creed in the Rocky films. Nick Nolte, I don't think he needs, you know, many things to talk about, but there's just a lot of actors who and actresses who've been outed to be in this series. What do you guys think of all the actors that we're seeing that are going to show up in here?
Caitlin, you have to go first this time.
Pretty cool. I was just looking up Gina Carano. I hope I'm pronouncing that correctly. Has actually been in Fast and Furious. She's been in Deadpool. Heist.
Okay.
So quite a few bigger names.
Well, you gotta remember that we also have like the directors who are gonna be doing this too. You know, you have Dave Filoni, who's directing the very first episode, which is Rebels, Clone Wars, and now he's directing this. You have Bryce Dallas Howard, who did Soulmates, Deborah Chow, who does Jessica Jones. You have Takiki. Yeah, you have Thor Ragnarok. So, like, you have all these amazing directors that are signed on to do different episodes. So this is, I don't expect this, like The Mandalorian, to be any type of like low budget production. I feel like this is going to be every bit a movie, you know, movie quality, especially when you think of like series like Game of Thrones, Westworld, or any of those like high budget HBO productions. The CGI and stuff is going
to... Even Netflix shows too. Have that kind of
yeah quality. Even the newer Netflix shows, you know, like, or even the newer Netflix, you know, movies and stuff, like, I can't imagine the production value not being where you would expect a Lucasfilm live action, you know, Star Wars movie to be.
I'm also thinking like, which also tells me, I think, like,
it also tells me that the like the number of episodes will also be reduced, so it's not going to be like, you know, how particularly in North America, our episodes tend to be like 20 or 22 episodes to cover, like from like September to the spring. To me, it's going to be a shorter number just because the cost of producing just one episode alone.
That wouldn't surprise me.
Which I'm fine with.
Story.
Which you gotta remember a lot of.
I was saying I'm a movie person, so like if I can dust a show off in 8 episodes, I'm happy.
Well, in quality over quantity too, right?
Exactly. Yeah.
I will say this: when you think of like the premium paid channels like HBO, Showtime, even Netflix series, you know, those series, none of them have a lot of episodes. You know, and they do like special holiday episodes sometimes. Comes to my Netflix right now, the Chilling Adventures of Sabrina is one that was extremely popular that just came out on Netflix. HBO obviously has things like Ballers, you know, Westworld and Game of Thrones, things that just come to mind. Showtime has, you know, all their shows too. And it's just one of those things where they don't have like full 20 episode seasons. The seasons usually be 8 to 12-ish. And I can easily see Mandalorian being that same type of arc, or being like 8 to 12-ish episodes, maybe 6 to 12 episodes, if we're lucky, maybe 14, or some episodes that are a little bit longer. The nice part is, you know, coming from my background, you know, when I used to do a show, we had to have a half an hour show, had to be exactly 23 minutes and 30 seconds long. That's how long the show actually ran. Because we had to submit it to the network so they could put commercials in it. So 23 minutes mm-hmm. and 30 seconds long was the absolute longest the episode could be. So with the streaming service, because you don't have to worry about commercials, you definitely have the ability to an episode being like an hour, some episodes being an hour and a half. It's kind of longer there, so to tell the full story that they want to tell. So I'm really excited for Mandalorian because it is one of the first live action TV shows that we're going to get for Star Wars, at least in that universe, even if it's not following the traditional Star Wars saga kind of, you know, formula, it's around a character that we really don't have much information on other than what's been in like Clone Wars and stuff like that. All we do know is this is the Mandalorian. It's between the time of Return of the Jedi and Force Awakens. So it's in that 20-ish years of kind of what's going on before the First Order rises. Make sense?
Yes.
Yeah. It also looks like just they're going to sell the streaming service with this show alone. Because, like, how many people do you know who are going to get it just to watch this?
Yeah. I would, you know what? I would be honest with you. I would get it just to watch this or even just to watch Clone Wars. But I think, you know, also having a young daughter, I feel like this is also something that's going to be, something that I'm going to end up, you know, having to have anyway. So the next bit of news, I'm jumping around in the document here, guys, but the next bit of news, Ben, I'm glad that you're on for this, and I'm not going to be able to say his last name, but Ludwig Göransson.
Oh my gosh, wait, I need to find this on the doc. Where are we?
I highlighted it in red. To compose the score. Since we're talking about the Mandalorian, I'm like, well, there's no reason to break up the Mandalorian news elsewhere.
This is the Black Panther guy, right?
This is the musical information that I included, and I'm glad that you're on the show, Ben, so you can talk to it at a higher level than me. Yes. Ludwig, what is his last name, Ben, since I'm sure you know?
I don't know. I would say Göransson. Probably
that's what I said.
Spelled.
Ludwig Göransson. I'm gonna say that's it. If it's wrong, I'm gonna blame Ben since he's a music major.
Yeah. Okay. Cool. It's
set to compose the score for Mandalorian. I actually didn't know who he was just by reading the name, but I will say I did do quite a bit of looking up on him before the show. He's also the one who did the Black Panther score too for Marvel and Disney, and he's done a whole bunch of other stuff from New Girl, you know, Creed 2, Venom, Community. Like, he's done a lot of music. So I was kind of blown away, but I'm excited for him to actually score. Like, it sounds like The Mandalorian as a TV show is going to have, like, a full score that you would expect to have in a Star Wars movie.
Yeah, I'm excited. I think also, like, I mean, like you were saying, he has a big body of work, but, like, nobody really knew who he was until this year when Black Panther came out, because, like, all the other stuff he'd done before was, like, even if it was successful, it was sort of, like, you know, nobody was like, who did the music for this? It was like, oh, yeah, that works, it's good, it's fine, but, like, the fact that they picked him to do it makes me excited, because, you know, we've had two spinoff movies so far with different composers, and now to have a show where they're just equally as invested in, like, okay, who's doing the music if we can't get John Williams? It's like, yeah, I mean, that's important. So I'm excited to see what he does. I mean, you know, it'll be fun to hear it.
Yeah, I'll be excited, because I'll be honest with you, I love the trilogy soundtracks, obviously the original trilogy and prequel trilogy. I love The Last Jedi and Force Awakens, but I will be honest with you, the solo soundtrack and the Rogue One soundtrack tend to get a little bit more play in my house as soundtracks, just because I think they're more fun.
Yeah, I would agree. I love the solo soundtrack. I think John Powell did a great job. And also, I mean, John Williams wrote the title track.
By all means, like, that, you know, that title
the
is amazing.
The theme from Solo is him. But, like, I love it, because it's it definitely is like a Star Wars score, but it also kind of sounds like How to Train Your Dragon in Space, which is, I'm also fine with. But yeah, no, I love the solo score.
Yeah, awesome. Like I said, I'm kind of excited for this, because the John Williams has such a dedicated, like, it's got a unique sound, and it's definitely Star Wars, and I can listen to it all day, every day. Like, it's what I grew up with, and so The Last Jedi and The Force Awakens just kind of gets lumped into, like, when I want to listen to the Star Wars soundtrack, like those there. Whereas, like, when I'm working in the background, the Rogue One soundtrack, especially Krennic's theme and stuff like that, is, like, so unique for the Rogue One. And then, like, the solo soundtrack is it's different, but it's still Star Wars-y, and you still feel like that, I don't know, for me, like, when I listen to the Star Wars music, I always get, like, excited, like, the hero's journey type thing, and get pumped up.
Yeah.
And I feel that more with the other two, mainly because I think it's fresh, if you will.
Yeah.
So, I'm excited for this.
I was actually really, when we were prep, I don't know how long ago it was now, but when we interviewed Gordy Hobb for the Battlefront music, I think to this day I'm probably most impressed with his ability to copy John Williams' sound than most composers, because, like, I listen to some of that Battlefront stuff and it's like,
yeah, really actually good when it comes speaking to, like, of Gordy Hobb, like, remember Gordy Hobb created the music that we used on this show. You know, probably 50% of the episodes, the intro music is music from Star Wars The Old Republic, which he created a bunch of the music for that, which is also Star Wars music soundtrack. So, like, I'm all for, like, I'm super excited for it. So, yeah, I think we'll see what The Mandalorian brings. And, you know, obviously Clone Wars has always had their own soundtrack, which has been phenomenal. But I'm kind of excited to see what we have here. So, the next bit of news is actually something I'm extremely excited for, and probably something we'll talk more about in detail when we get into what we're excited for in 2019. And I linked a couple different articles that all kind of relate to this. So Star Wars Land is pegged to open June 21st in Anaheim, with the opening later in late fall in Florida. So what's really exciting is I am actually going to California in June already, which is what my wife and I were planning for my daughter's birthday, to be with my side of the family. But we're also going to go to, we're also planning to be there around the time that Star Wars open. And these dates just perfectly came out as I was requesting time off and kind of flights, so we can make sure that we'll be there for the opening of it. But yeah, like, what do you guys think about this? This is a 14-acre theme park land at Disneyland. It's going to open up there first, and then it'll come to, you know, Florida. Any excitement about this?
Yeah. No, I'm actually not excited at all.
Yes, just cost and distance might be an issue for me. But I'll make it work one way or another.
And you know what's really interesting? That is actually the thing that the next bit I talk about. So Disney has also raised their prices to Star Wars Land. So not to Star Wars Land, but Disneyland has hiked ticket prices to the highest they've ever been. It will now cost you triple digits for the first time. So a daily ticket will for the first time will be will cost you $104, and on high demand days it may go up to $149.
Whoa!
And that's American.
That's American dollars. And yeah. Remember, the American dollar right now is extremely strong. So that's, you know, without getting into economics and stuff, it does kind of make sense, though. I'll be honest with you, like, Disney has always raised the prices. Yeah.
What park is the Star Wars Land in Florida?
It's in Hollywood. It's in Hollywood Studios.
It's in Hollywood Studios? Okay.
Yes.
That's okay. Because I was wondering if they, like, because I know that Magic Kingdom costs the most of the four parks to get into, but I'm wondering if they're going to, like, the price hike was so that, like, across the board, because Hollywood Studios, I think, is, like, not as visited as the other three, probably, which is, this one's going to, like, boost the attendance at that park.
I'll say this also. Disney World, they haven't done any change to Disney World pricing yet. This is just Disneyland. So Disney World hasn't changed their prices yet. The least expensive ticket at Disney World is $109. Disneyland has jumped to $104. And the price for a ticket on high demand days is up to $149. So obviously, like, depending on what day you go, that can definitely be kind of pricey. Here's the thing is, I don't think Disneyland or Disney World are places where you're going to go, you know, you're going to go all the time. You're not going to go all the time. It's kind of like, all right, we did it, and maybe in a couple years or, you know, you'll go again. And Disneyland, I can speak for this because I grew up there, 50% of Disneyland's people traffic, is from people who have passes and locals. The other one is people visiting. And really what it comes down to is the reason they increased the ticket price is crowd control. Like, they have, during the summers this year, and almost every summer, they've had to literally close the park from letting people in because they have hit their max capacity during their peak days.
Yeah.
And so by raising the price, you know, there's
a lot more room in Florida, so they wouldn't necessarily have to do that.
Yeah, they don't have to do that as much, and, you know, I'm sure that they'll probably raise the prices right before Star Wars opens up in late fall. But you remember, like, fall is Disney World's slow time when all the people go back to school, so I'm sure they're not going to do it then, but they may do it, like, in October when it's expected to open in late fall then.
Sure.
But yeah, so, like, in California, like, I definitely see them raising it right now before it's a $7 billion, you know. Was it $7 billion or is it more? You know, the expansion cost, the company, it was a $1 billion expansion. $1 billion it cost them to make Star Wars Land.
Insane.
Not a million, not a hundred million. But a billion times two.
Expansion being built in, like, at least in Florida, and they're like building it and they keep looking over it like Harry Potter world over in Orlando, and they're like, we're gonna beat you because we're spending more money. But I think, like, there's a legitimate competitor, and as far as like a giant movie franchise, like, people will start going to Disney World to go to Star Wars Land, just like people go to Universal to go to Harry Potter Land.
Oh, that's exactly it. People are going to go to Disneyland for Star Wars Land. When you think that it's also a 14-acre expansion,
that's huge.
That is ridiculously huge. 14 acres. So that's just ridiculously large. They have announced two rides, which we'll talk about and what we're looking forward to. A ride called Rise of the Resistance and Millennium Falcon Smuggler's Run. So there's definitely going to be some really cool stuff that they have here. Like I said, Smuggler's Run, you get to fly the Millennium Falcon, which it looks pretty cool. So we'll just have to wait and see what it comes out to. But they did raise the price of it. But I'm excited because it looks to be opening June 21st, and I may be there. I might have to, like, live stream it or something.
Well, and, like, it's not, like, as frustrating it is for us to have to pay the extra, at least, like, I can kind of see it, because not only is it, like, the land and then all the work that they had to get in to put it in, but they now have to pay for extra staff to man it and run it, and any maintenance or whatnot when rides eventually break down, et cetera, et cetera.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that makes sense. I mean, we've all played Roller Coaster Tycoon, right?
Yep. Well, you get it. Well, you know.
Yeah.
So the next bit of news, the last bit of news, is more of an opinion piece, and I really wanted to have hear your guys' thoughts on it, because I was just like, oh my gosh, this makes sense. I actually said the same thing with a coworker when this came out. So Star Wars, on their YouTube channel, has released something called Star Wars Galaxy of Adventure. If you haven't seen this, this is an animated style take on prominent scenes from the original trilogy. There's actually quite a few different ones that have been released. I'm trying to get the exact number, but there's scenes like Darth Vader meeting Princess Leia on the Tantive IV, Luke Skywalker in the against the Death Star, Chewbacca versus R2-D2 and C-3PO in Holochess, Luke Skywalker versus the Palpatine, you know, like, all the really cool scenes like you're used to. I'm looking at it. It's on Star Wars Kids. There's 8. It looks like there is 13 of them that are out. There's 13 of these. And they're just really, really fun. The really cool thing is they use the original audio from the Star Wars movies. So they're not using, like, new animated character voices. They're not someone stepping in. It's Ewan McGregor as Obi-Wan, if you will. You know, it's Mark Hamill as Luke Skywalker and Carrie Fisher as Princess Leia. It's not someone stepping in to voice the character who does a good job. It's literally the voice of the live action movie, but this really cool animation. The thought is this Disney testing, doing a test to see if there's interest for an original trilogy remake, simply because animation has always been Disney's kind of bread and butter and stuff they're known for. And since they're doing all the live action remakes of these classic animation films, what's to stop them from doing an animation version of a classic live action film that they have the rights to? What do you guys think of this? Like, do you think they would ever release a full version of this of the movies animated? And would you want to see it?
I think they would. I don't think it's necessary. Would I watch one? Yes.
Okay. What do you think?
I don't know. I mean, if they use the same audio and then just animated it instead of, like, I don't see that. I guess what I mean is, like, the bigger difference is, like, when they're remaking live action versions of animated stuff, they're doing things to it. Like, I'm thinking like Beauty and the Beast, for example, they added a song and like the, you know, like the, they did extra things to it to make it different, like a different version of the same story. Whereas if they redid Star Wars, but they used the same audio or the same sound effects and music and stuff, which all of that is super iconic, they're restricted to that. And so it is almost a carbon copy rather than like a, here's a creative new version of the same thing that you've seen before. So I'm a little hesitant, but also like, maybe I'd check it out. I don't know. I'm actually kind of conflicted on this.
Well, I'll tell you this. So, like, there's one called Path of the Dark Side, which is Vader, the scene from Rogue One, right? You know, when Vader comes to the Tentative Four, right before what you see in, right before what you see, you know, the before it cuts to what would be in A New Hope, right? And the animation is just absolutely awesome. It's very, very different. It's similar, but it's very different and still uses a lot of the same sound effects and everything. Even like, I don't know, I feel like even if they use the same dialogue, the sound effects are not always exactly the same. Like, they don't just take the audio track and animate to the audio track. It's definitely its own thing. The shots are very different because it's animated. I feel like it would be an interesting take. I feel like, personally, I think it would be really fun to have. Do I think it's 100% necessary? No, but I think it would be something where there would be an audience for it, because you have to remember, so the original trilogy is 40 plus years old, so trying to get young kids into that is sometimes difficult. Not to say that I don't think young kids can't enjoy Star Wars. They definitely can love the new movies, they can love the prequels, and they can love the original trilogy once they get into it. But I think as a cartoon, it being the same story, I feel like they can relate to it a little bit quicker and easier, especially with it being updated in the latest resolutions and all those things where, you know, look how long it took us to get a 1080p Blu-ray version, and only that, we have the special edition, not the original story. So I can see if they did this, like, I think it would be kind of fun to, like, include stuff that was cut out, or do, like, a good example is, like, think of the special edition for A New Hope. You have the scene with Han and Jabba the Hutt, right? In the movie, it looks really hokey because it was totally added on after the fact. We didn't know what Jabba the Hutt was supposed to be originally. He was supposed to be some kind of hairy character like Chewie, so we have him step on Chewbacca's or the Wookiee's tail or the Hutt's tail, you know, as he's walking around it, because he literally walked around the guy. Like, now with animation, they can still do the same thing, the same interaction, but it doesn't have to be the exactly the same way. Does that make sense?
Well, and yeah, that makes now sense. Here's the real question to the scene before that. Who shoots first?
Well, I think they've definitively said that it's definitely, you know, Han shot first. You know, they've said that. So I'm sure they'll have Han shoot first. But like, just even looking at like the Luke versus the Death Star assault, like, I personally think like the footage of that looks so cool, like, as animated. I don't know if you guys have watched that one. But, like, it's very similar. It's not shot for shot a remake, but it's definitely very similar. A lot of the animation's the same. It feels like it's sped up, like, they're moving way faster than they did in the original. But, again, it's different. You know, and it's definitely got the anime feel. Like, I will tell you this, like, what Galaxy of Adventures is what I thought Star Wars Resistance was going to look like. So, we'll have to wait and see, but I would be okay with it, and I would ask any of our listeners to tweet at us at Our Radio Podcast. Let us know if you would watch a original trilogy remake done in the style of Galaxy of Adventures. So, on to our spotlight topic, which is a recap of 2018. And our hopes for 2019. So let's just take a look at some of the highlights from 2018. And in no particular way, I put only a couple things on here, because I will be honest with you, 2018 was one of those years that was interesting for Star Wars. We didn't have our traditional holiday movie. We had it in May instead of December. And it came off of a very controversial saga episode. And, you know, it was kind of interesting. So I will say one of the highlights of 2018 was the amount of news Battlefront 2 received, just like in 2017 before it was released. I don't know if you guys followed any of the news for Battlefront 2, but we talked about Battlefront 2 being the successor. It had a great story campaign mode, Iden Versio and Inferno Squadron. So I was all hyped for it. But then they announced like this loot system, which was essentially gambling for kids. So much so that there was such a big boycott that EA pulled it right before the release. So they kind of shipped a game that wasn't complete. And it completely lacked a lot of updates that they had promised, that they said was going to come. We finally got the update for General Grievous and General Kenobi, which should have been out at the beginning of this year, maybe. And it just came out, you know, at the end, or at the beginning of 2018, and we just got it towards the end of 2018. So, what's your take on Battlefront 2? Do you think this franchise is kind of done and they're moving on to something else? Or it kind of fell into the same problem of Solo, the Star Wars fatigue? What do you guys think?
I don't know. Caitlin, do you play it? Because I don't.
I don't play it, but just from listening to like what has happened and reading about it and like people's response, yes, it's true, Star Wars fatigue may have something to do with it, but I think whether they drop it and move on to something else or whether they make a third one, they need to sit back and actually listen to why Battlefront 2 did not do well.
That makes sense. You know, and that's what they did listen to from what like was the feedback from Battlefront 1, because the original Battlefront was fun. The downside is it didn't have a story mode, something you couldn't play on your own. So it was definitely something you had to play kind of online. Whereas Battlefront 2, you know, it had that, but it wasn't very long, and then there was no updates. Whereas the first Battlefront had like, oh, we have these five expansion packs they had already pre-announced. You could pre-order them all and, you know, get them and lock them. So it was kind of nice, but it was just different. I think they tried to make everybody happy, both the users and also the executives, by like kind of figuring out how to make money a different way from versus selling expansion packs. And I think it just caused some problems overall for the game. So it is definitely something where I think it was an underperform type thing. Last Jedi was released on Blu-ray, DVD, and digital. I'm assuming you guys all picked up your copy, yes? I think we talked about it on one episode.
Yes, yeah. I did. Like, the day it came out.
I think we all did. It had some really fun... I think we even did our episode where we talked about what was on the extras. I was thoroughly happy with the extras on this one. It took me a couple rewatchings.
I kind of was upset that The Force Awakens didn't have a director commentary. I know that there is one, but it's only included on like the 3D release. So I haven't heard it, but this one came with Rian Johnson's director commentary, and I'm gonna ruin this for everyone, but his favorite word in the commentary is notion. So if you ever watch it, count the amount of times he says the word notion. Also, I don't know if you guys have movies anywhere, but he released a version of the movie that's just the score. So you can watch the whole movie with just music, which is awesome, which I wish they would do with all of them. So I was all for this digital release specifically, because those were two things. Well, I think the commentary was available on the Blu-ray or whatever, but the score-only version was only if you subscribed to Movies Anywhere and like connected it with, you know, your iTunes or wherever you're streaming your movies.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I will say the score version was pretty interesting to watch. But yeah, like, I don't know. I think Last Jedi was a controversial film. I still have people tell me about, like, I didn't like it. And I'm like, it took me more than one viewing to say I like it. I left the theater going, I think that was probably the best way for me to describe going, I don't know. Like, I left Force Awakens. Like, yeah. I left Force Awakens just so pumped and, like, excited.
Yeah, right.
I left Rogue One like I will be honest with you. I left Rogue One the same way I kind of left Last Jedi. I was kind of like a little somber where like Rogue One, like they did what they wanted to do, and it was like, if it wasn't for the Vader scene at the end that got you super pumped, even though it was like Vader and the Empire winning, you know what was going to happen next. Like, it wasn't like, it was kind of cool.
Right.
Whereas like Last Jedi, like,
yeah,
you leave and you're like, okay, there's like what, 14 resistance fighters left. You know, Kylo Ren is now the head of the First Order, which is ridiculously big and completely controls the galaxy. There's no more Republic at all. It's been destroyed from the end of Force Awakens, and Luke is dead now. And on top of that, we also had, you know, real life Carrie Fisher pass away too. So you're kind of like, where is this going to go? Like, it's just like,
you know, I have to say though, yeah, go ahead.
I was going to say, it leaves you, it kind of reminds me of like an Empire Strikes Back a little bit, but we don't have the full context to like put it in that context yet. Like, we don't know what's going to happen next. To look back and say, oh, this is the one that's the most powerful, the most interesting of all the films. Right now, it's one of those films where you're just like, I don't know. Like, it doesn't leave you happy.
Yeah.
And you don't like moviegoers don't like that. Like, you just don't like that.
I specifically remember walking into the theater the first time I saw The Last Jedi and going, what the hell did I just watch? And I had to, like, think about it. And then a couple weeks later, I was home for Christmas and I went with my family. And it was kind of interesting because I liked it a lot better because I knew what was going to happen. And I knew how, like, to better process what I was watching. But, of course, we came out of there. My dad didn't really say too much. He just kind of went, And my brother just immediately is like, I didn't like it.
And yeah, I had a lot of friends say, I didn't like it. And I was just like,
Yeah. And sorry, go ahead.
I was going to say, and that's the interesting about it. Because like on my, you know, I think I said on my fourth viewing, I really liked it. But I think the one thing that really got me in The Last Jedi, and I know we've talked about this on different episodes, and Diane's not here because I think she was one of the few people that said, I loved it out of the first going. Is I like the film. Like, don't get me wrong. Like, I love it. I've actually rewatched it this less than 2 weeks ago. It's the Luke Skywalker. The portrayal of Luke Skywalker is not the way I would have imagined Luke Skywalker. I understand the reasoning behind it. And I think I made the joke was, because I read so much of the EU, the extended universe, which is now Star Wars Legends, I can't see Luke Skywalker with a beard. Like, him having a beard is something that, like, my it's not Luke Skywalker. Like, in all the books, the cover art of it and everything, like, Luke never had a beard. He was always clean shaven. Even though he was older, he was always clean shaven. And, you know, that was not the Luke I knew, even though I knew the Luke from the Legends is not true. And I think it was, like, me talking on the show where I kind of realized, they released the book, The Legends of Luke Skywalker, which portrayed Luke Skywalker as the character from those books, like that legendary character. And in The Last Jedi, he commented, he's like, I failed because I thought I couldn't fail. I was Luke Skywalker. I had believed in the legend, right? Like, he believed that he couldn't fail because he was Luke Skywalker, and he failed Ben. And I think that made it more powerful as something, but that's something that, like, it took me multiple viewings, multiple, like, analysis of the character to kind of decide. But yeah, like, it you know, something to decide why, like, you know, where, you know, why I liked the movie. But it was definitely not a, oh man, I walked out of it, I wanted to watch it again. I will say, What 2018 had that made me want to do that was Solo. I walked out of the Solo movie. There's a goofy photo my wife took of me. Like, I had a poster in hand. I was like, I was all grinning. Like, I could not stop talking about Solo. I think I saw it like 5 or 6 times in theaters. And that was like me, like, hey, can you watch the baby so I can go see Solo again on like a Saturday morning? It was, I loved Solo. It's one of my favorite movies, like, honestly, out of the Star Wars saga, just because it's so fun. And I was so humped for young Lando, Donald Glover. I'll be honest with you, Donald Glover's probably one of the weakest things in that movie. He did a phenomenal job.
Oh, yeah, totally. Yeah.
He did such a phenomenal job, but there were so many other things that were so good that you're just like, dude, this movie's awesome. Yeah. So 2018 definitely had some big things.
As much as much, I guess, like, turbulence as, you know, Last Jedi caused, it still made, like, $1 billion at the box office. And I actually just looked this up just to see what the repercussions of people having that opinion of it were. It's still the top-selling Blu-ray of 2018. Like, it outsold Infinity War and Black Panther. So people still wanted to see it when it came out on DVD.
Well, people also want to, you know, a lot of people are completionists, like, intentionally or not intentionally. Sure.
But I mean, still, you know, that still counts, right? So I'm like, I'm wondering, you know, did people really dislike it as strongly as certain people would say they did? Because, I mean, I certainly walked out the first time, and I also had a sort of like a but like, it was like this, it wasn't like a, I absolutely hated that movie. It was like, I need to think about that movie because I wasn't sure. And then I saw it a second time and I liked it a lot better. I think, Caitlin, I had the same experience as you. But actually, both my parents loved Episode 8 also. And they are, you know, Star Wars original fans. Like, they went to see the first trilogy when they were kids. So to have them approve of Episode 7 and 8, you know, it's kind of a huge deal, considering that they said they, the new ones remind them of the old ones and how they felt, in the sense that, like, they're still kids' movies and they're kind of campy and, like, they're really fun and they're not supposed to be anything super duper serious. You know, they're just really, really fun. So.
Caitlin, any thoughts on The Last Jedi / Solo coming out?
No, nothing that I, like, hadn't said already, although, this does make me want to actually watch The Last Jedi again.
Yeah, it's definitely something that, you know, it's definitely worth watching again. I will say this, just looking back at 2018 and kind of, like, the past, Force Awakens in theaters, just to kind of put in context, worldwide pulled in $2 billion. So the film itself brought in $2 billion in revenue. 2.06, so, you know, that's still a lot.
That's still a lot.
It's over a billion.
How many movies have done $2 billion? That's like four, right? It's like Titanic,
Avatar. Yeah, it's like
Force Awakens and
Infinity Avatar. I think that Infinity War didn't hit Force Awakens. But then you also have Rogue One that did $1 billion worldwide. Yeah. And then Last Jedi topped that with $1.3 billion worldwide. So Last Jedi did a phenomenal job. But then Solo, coming off of The Last Jedi, and this is where it's like, maybe it was too much in 28, too much Star Wars back-to-back, because you had December 2017 was The Last Jedi, and then May, which is just 5 months, 6 months later, right? 6 months later, it only did $392 million. You know, $400 million in revenue is not bad. Again, that's rounding up. But, like, that's less than 50% of The Last Jedi.
Yeah.
And it was also significantly more expensive because they essentially had to shoot it twice.
My theory on that is, though, like, because I went in saying, like, we don't need this movie. I'm not super excited for this movie, but I'm going to give this movie a chance because I was withholding any opinion until I saw it. And I really liked it. But I can see a lot of people who are in my position who just said, nah, I'm not even going to go see it, you know? And you said the same thing where you ran into some guy who was like, oh, yeah, I didn't like it, and then he didn't actually see it, you know?
Yeah, I'll say this. There's still a lot of people I talk to when I talk about the Star Wars movies. Actually, just the other day at work, I was talking about, like, recording today, and I was mentioning, you know, I was looking back at 2018, and they said, yeah, I didn't like the last one. I'm like, you know, watch Solo? No, I haven't seen that yet. You know, the last one, The Last Jedi. I was like, well, that was 2017 when it came out. So, like, yeah, I didn't like it, and that's why I didn't go see Solo. And I remember I even talked about it on the show. Like, I had, you know, I was wearing a Star Wars shirt somewhere, and someone commented about Solo because it was in theaters, like how horrible it was. I said, have you seen it? And they said, no. I'm like, it was awesome. I'll be honest. I think we talked about Solo was a botched release on a couple different things, and I think Disney, Bob Iger actually admitted to it, like he owns that, not Kathleen Kennedy, because Kathleen Kennedy and Lucasfilm wanted to move it to a December release, and I think if they released it this December, Solo would have done significantly better box office wise. Not only would it have had a longer time in post production, but when you look at Wookiee Wednesday or Wookiee Weekend, what was the release of the Star Wars toys for Solo? We had Dano on the show, and we talked about how it was such a disappointment because not a lot of the stores actually had any of the toys, and the ones that did didn't put them out till like Saturday afternoon or Sunday when it was supposed to be there Friday. It was just one of those things where like it wasn't prepared. Whereas like for The Last Jedi, it was like there was buttons, get your Rey game on, and like everyone was like super excited for the toy launch and everything. We had multiple trailers for The Last Jedi leading up to it, and The Force Awakens and Rogue One, for all the like the toy releases. But for Solo, it was just kind of like, oh, and here's the Star Wars movie sandwiched in between like Avengers and Black Panther and like all these other, and Ant-Man and Wasp, like sandwiched literally between all these other tentpole movies that Disney had. Now, don't get me wrong. I know Disney has this winter, it had, Mary Poppins, which it's something it had to protect. But I don't think Mary Poppins, the audience for Mary Poppins and Star Wars overlaps definitely some, but I don't think it would be enough to where they wouldn't overlap. Like, I don't think it would have hurt it significantly amount.
I think it was probably just because Mary Poppins is such like a sacred property. They didn't want to double book themselves, you know?
Yeah, they probably overbooked themselves a little too much on it. And, changing the cadence of the Star Wars release threw people off. Because I'll be honest, people just didn't know. Yeah, and when you're right about 2 billion worldwide, only Avatar, it's basically Avatar, Titanic, Star Wars, The Force Awakens, then Avengers, and that's the last four that have made it 2 billion worldwide release. Mm-hmm. It then drops to
it's an exclusive club.
It's an exclusive club of four films, and when you look at dang, it drops to 1.6 billion. It's the next closest
but
film.
But that so being said, three of the four Disney Star Wars films have made it to a billion, which is still pretty good,
Yeah, if you look at the three Star Wars films have made it, three of the four. So it's definitely something, and I think there's currently a Twitter hashtag, Make Solo 2, is a Twitter hashtag that's going around right now. Because I'll be honest with you, I would love to see Solo become a trilogy. It was such an awesome movie, and it actually became one of the best-selling Blu-rays and DVDs of this year also. It recouped a significant amount at the home release, so it might just be because, like I said, it was released at the wrong time.
Too. There were enough people who were like us who were like, no, you have to see it, and then people were like, oh, I'll wait till it hits Netflix, or like, I'll wait till, and then they actually watched it, and, because I have several friends who said that, but they were like, sincere. They were like, oh yeah, no, when it hits Netflix, I'll watch it. And I was like, okay, cool. Yeah. But
yeah, I'll tell you this. I actually had someone who watched it out of my recommendation and just like, yeah, no, it's on iTunes. I can rent it. And they said, I now bought it because it was so good and I want my kids to watch it with it. Yeah. Like they watched it like right? a date night and they had such a fun time watching because it is literally, it's a popcorn flick. It's what you would expect of a Han Solo movie. It was just fun.
It's a summer popcorn movie.
And it's funny because like there was, like, as you said, there's all this kind of, like, hate or disinterest to it, and now people are like, hashtag, make sequel. And then whereas you had, like, sequel. Last Jedi, and you had all these, like, there was even people who were looking to get financing to just, like, recreate The Last Jedi to how they felt it should have been. So it's weird how you have two completely different responses to two different movies under the same franchise.
Yeah, again, and they're telling two very different stories too. Like, obviously Solo can only go so far, but it can definitely go into an underworld, which I feel like Mandalorian's going to dig into a little bit. And so will the Diego Luna streaming series will probably dig into a little bit also. Just because it takes place in the same time frame-ish area. We don't know exactly when, but time frame as the Solo films do. But I will say this, moving on to what we look forward to in 20, 2019, the first thing that I think is going to happen in 2019 that I'm looking forward to is a title for episode 9. And the reason for this, and thank you, Ben, for giving me the exact date so I can sound smart when I talk about it. But the official, the official title for Star Wars Episode 8, The Last Jedi, was released January 23rd. I would not be surprised if we get an official title for Episode 9 sometime around this same time frame. Because if you look at Episode 8 and Episode 9, they are following a very similar timeline in the sense that there is a celebration that is taking place in the spring. In this case, we have Star Wars Celebration 2019 in Chicago that is taking place that we have. And that's where I'm assuming we'll go ahead and see the first, the first trailer for it would be in April when Celebration takes place. But yeah, I do definitely think we'll have a title soon, this month or next month. What do you guys think? Think we'll get a title?
Yes, that would be nice. Let's go.
I think it would be nice. I'm excited. We'll have to wait and see, but I think we'll definitely get a title soon.
I'm just here's my question. So are they going to go back to a gold logo?
I think it'll be a blue logo, like completed. Like,
yo, I was saying that too. I was like, we'll have the primary color trilogy, you know? But like, also, I was like, it wouldn't surprise me if it was like silver or like sort of like aqua kind of, you know, be cool.
Yeah, we'll have to wait and see what they do, but I definitely think they'll have, you know, we'll see a trailer for it at Star Wars Celebration, which is actually the next thing for us to look forward to. So, Star Wars Celebration is the next thing that I believe is coming up in 2019 for us to look to. It is, let's see, what are the exact days for it? It's April, right? Am I not looking at that wrong?
Yeah.
I'm trying to look at the weekend.
I'm not going, so I don't know. I'm just going to, like, let the news from it.
Yes, it's wash April 11th, April 12th, April 13th, and April 14th is the dates. The Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Is there a Monday, too? I don't know. But it is, Monday, it's in 92 days. Yeah. But yeah, it's going to be in April, so mid-April, which is really nice. But yeah, I think that's going to be, it's in 92 days-ish from now. So 3 months, we'll get a first trailer, and I'm sure they'll release that as like the big trailer at Celebration for everyone to see, and then it'll eventually get to the website.
That would also make sense, because they need a big trailer to go in front of Infinity War 2.
When is Infinity War dropping?
May sometime.
It's like the next week. It's like April 26th or something like that.
Oh, is it?
I think so.
That would make sense if they release it April 11th through April. Yeah, so Celebration is April 11th through April 15th. Yeah. So it's just five days.
The trailers. So when we go see Avengers, we're going to see a Lion King trailer, a Toy Story 4 trailer, a Frozen 2 trailer, and a Star Wars 9 trailer. That's a lot.
I don't know if we're going to get all those in one movie. I'm sure there'll be other, you know, studios that want their trailer.
So I'm thinking, like, possibly. But
that makes sense for them to hype up their own properties for it. But
oh, and
April 26th. I don't know. Sorry.
April 26th. Okay, cool. So they will drop a trailer the week before. So at least a Star Wars. So if you want to see the big new trailer in theaters, go see Avengers.
Mm-hmm. It'll definitely be there, but yeah. So we will see a trailer for Episode 9. I'm kind of excited to see how they handle the story, the trailer for it. Obviously, I'm excited to see the movie, but I'm wondering how they're going to handle the trailer, because you know Carrie Fisher didn't film any footage, and I know they used some footage of her from The Force Awakens in Episode 9, because that's been news. And how they're just going to handle her character in Episode 9. I'm wondering how they'll have Lando Calrissian make his way back. Will he be in the trailer or not? Like, there's a lot of things that can happen in the trailer. And I just, you know, we'll just have to wait and see. Anything else you guys are excited for in 2019? There's a couple other things I want to mention.
No? I mean, yeah. Episode 9 is kind of the big one, but that's all the way at the end of the year, so...
Yeah, that's all at the end. We talked about the trailer, we talked about celebration for the trailer.
Yeah, I think the collective hype is like, you know, because like every time we're, like, both 2015 and 2017, we're like, oh my gosh, we're in the year of the new Star Wars movie, and even though it's 12 months away, it's like, we've got, like, trailers to look forward to, and, like, news about, you know, casting, or, you know, any, you know, that kind of stuff. So, like, as we kind of just build up to it over the course of the year, I've enjoyed both of the episodic movies build up the year they come out, and so just having all that again, except this is the last one, is going to be awesome.
Yeah, it definitely, it's like, this is the year where, like, it gets exciting, like, when we did, like, you know, leading up to The Last Jedi and Rogue One, like I said, between the release of Solo and, like, kind of now, we haven't really had a whole lot of Star Wars news, and we slowly started to see a trickle in of news about, like, the Disney streaming service and all the Star Wars news. But leading up into Celebration and coming soon, I'm sure we'll get a title. We're just going to get bombarded with Star Wars news again, which I'm super excited for. Speaking of this year, we also have some books that are coming up, which are going to be in the next couple months, actually. We have a list of them, but one of my books that I have already pre-ordered both the audiobook for on Audible and also just in general is... Master and Apprentice, which is an Obi-Wan and a Qui-Gon novel by Claudia Gray. And Claudia Gray did, she wrote Lost Stars, which Tony and I have talked about in detail. It's one of our favorite Star Wars books of the new canon. She wrote Bloodline and Leia, Princess of Alderaan, which is a phenomenal book leading into The Last Jedi. It's kind of a look back at who Leia was and her relationship with Emmeline Holdo. Beyond just Master and Apprentice, there's also Queen Shadow by E.K. Johnston, who wrote the Ahsoka novel, is coming out in March of this year. We have Star Wars Icons Han Solo. It's a reference book coming out in April. We have Alphabet Squadron, which we talked about, I think, back in November, is coming out in June of this year. And Thrawn Treason, another Thrawn novel, is coming out in July. So these are all things that are happening in the first half of this year before, like, in between Celebration and in between the trailer, we're going to have these awesome Star Wars books to kind of tide us over story narrative-wise to follow along with. So I'm kind of excited for all of those. I don't know, is there any of those besides the ones I'm really excited for that you guys are kind of excited to maybe read or look into?
Well, Master and Apprentice is something I've always wanted, so...
Another Obi-Wan book.
Yep. That's all I could ever want.
It's the only reason. Yeah, I'm actually really excited for... Obviously, Thrawn, I'm super stoked for, because I've loved the Thrawn novels, like, completely, and I'm excited for Master and Apprentice, because I love Claudia Gray as an author. I'm really excited for Alphabet Squadron. I think I talked about this a while ago when they announced it, by Alexander Freed. Just because it seems like a really interesting... take on a book where it's a squadron made up of literally like all the other ships. It's not like an X-Wing squadron or an A-Wing squadron. And it's just kind of following on like the summary for it is on the verge of victory in what seemed an endless war, five former rebel pilots transformed from hunted to hunters as they strike out against the vestiges of the Empire. Set after Return of the Jedi, Alphabet Squadron follows a unique team, each flying a different class of starfighter as they struggle to end their war once and for all. So it definitely sounds like a one-off, kind of like the Inferno Squadron type story that we saw for like Battlefront that was written. But it's fun because like it's a group of rebel pilots all in different class ships. You know, you have your X-Wing, your Y-Wing, your A-Wing, the U-Wing, and the B-Wing ships, like, because it's, you know, the alphabet. And I just thought it was really cool, whoa, like, for them to put this together, right? I think I commented once that... a kid told me that if the TIE fighter was a rebel ship, it'd be called the H-Wing instead of a TIE fighter. Because... Yep, there you go. It would be part of that Alphabet Squadron. Who knows? Anyway, so yeah, so we have some books coming up. I'm excited for them. I love Audible. And some of those will be out specifically before Star Wars Celebration. So I might hold off reading it and get the audiobook version. Like the Queen Shadow by E.K. Johnston. I might just hold off on that and listen to it on the drive up to Chicago for me. I don't know if my wife will let me do that or my mom, but we'll see. Anyway, beyond this, I'm also excited. We kind of talked about it. Is Star Wars Galaxy's Edge is coming in the summer in Disneyland in California and late fall. I put a couple notes of a couple things that are coming out. The Black Spire Outpost is what we will be visiting at Galaxy's Edge. It's on the planet Batuu. We've learned a little bit about that in the last Thrawn novel that came out. And there's also a cantina that they've announced so far, and they've only announced one menu item, which is a non-alcoholic drink called Blue Milk, which is also not actually milk. So it's a non-lactose alcoholic drink called Blue Milk. Two rides called Rise of the Resistance, which is the most epic ride Disney has ever created, from what they said, and Smuggler's Run for the Millennium Falcon. I am so excited to see this because all the information coming out of Star Wars Land is that when you go into it, it's fully immersive. You'll be interacting with character actors and characters plus droids, literally robots that are Disney has built for the park. And the really crazy thing is, unlike Disney, where you go in after a ride and you want to buy a t-shirt for Star Wars or something and it's got a logo on it, the merchandise and stuff you buy on this at Black Spire Outpost is stuff you would get if you were visiting this planet. So you're going to find unique items. Like, they're not going to have your traditional merchandise. They're not going to have your traditional merchandise, which is really cool. So, like, and they even commented, and I was trying to find the article that I read this from, so I couldn't link it for you guys. But they even commented that some of the action figures or the figurines that you would buy, they didn't really call them action figures, because like they've shown them, like they're like they look handmade. They took some creative liberties with them because the people at Black Spire Outpost may not have ever seen these characters before, so they may have gotten some details that you know wrong, if that makes sense. Which I think is really cool. That really plays into the whole like aspect of it. You're going to this trading post that is in Star Wars. But I find it interesting just because they're really tying it into kind of like when you go to Harry Potter Land where you're like, oh, we're at the wand shop and you can buy a wand and stuff like that. But obviously you can also get, you know, all the stuff that you would buy as a wizard, like the wizard robes, the scarves and stuff. They also still have t-shirts, you know what I mean? Like they have bags and mugs. Star Wars Land is not supposed to have any of that stuff. That's going to be at Star Tours and the Star Trader shops that place still has. It's going to have the traditional merchandising. This is going to have in-planet type merchandise with this outpost, which I think is really cool. It's going to be different. So that's something I'm really looking forward to. I don't know about you guys. What do you guys think?
Yeah, I'm also pumped. That sounds awesome.
One other bit of news, I want to talk about Rise of the Resistance, because there hasn't been a lot of information about Rise of the Resistance released, other than it's their most epic ride they've ever done. And the video that they've released for it just shows you people on a cart for it. What I can tell you is about Rise of the Resistance, here's the teaser, I got it for you guys to watch anyway. But what I can tell you about Rise of the Resistance is that I do know for a fact at both parks, two life-size AT-ATs were being built, and they have now since been covered up. So I'm assuming this is part of the Rise of the Resistance ride, is that you go through, you're riding through something, and you're going to go past, under, around, nearby these life-size ATSTs or ATMTs. You know, I don't know if they're actually ATATs. Like, we saw the frame, metal frames before they got covered up. So it should be really exciting. But it looks like, Rise of the Resistance is, you get to be part of the Resistance as they take on the First Order, and I almost wonder if Rise of the Resistance takes place timeline-wise after The Last Jedi, whereas, like, you automatically would assume it's at the beginning of the Resistance, but Rise of the Resistance could be, like, the Resistance coming back. I don't know. Like, because, you know, like I said, at the end of Last Jedi, there's only, like, 12 of them. So, thoughts? Anything?
Looks cool.
Caitlin.
Looks cool, yeah.
That's all. I'm going to go with Caitlin on this one.
You guys don't sound super enthusiastic. Well, I'm going to be excited for Star Wars Galaxy's Edge. I will be there.
Literally, the teaser was like, it's cool looking clips, don't get me wrong. But that's all it was. It was clips. It didn't show me at all what the ride was supposed to be like. So it's hard to judge what, like, I have no doubt it's going to be good. The teaser didn't really tell me much about it.
Yeah, it doesn't. I'm trying to see, there's another one. There's another,
like,
teaser they released where they showed people riding in a car. But that was kind of it. Like, they didn't really. Yeah. I keep finding the same trailer for it where it's just Rise of the Resistance. And that's it. But yeah, I don't know. I'm excited to see what happened. Oh, there it is. Now vehicle. They show the vehicle. There it is. Here's a picture of the vehicle. I got it for you. Don't allow this. It looks like, I'm trying to think. I don't know what I would say what it looks like. It First Order Fleet Transport Vehicle is what it's called that you get in. It's seats eight. It kind of reminds me of the Indiana Jones ride, if you will. From Disneyland. And I know people who haven't been to Disneyland, Indiana Jones is kind of like a ground roller coaster off-road kind of ride where you're literally driving on a track, but the cart is also moving kind of like the Star Tours ride, if that makes sense. I guess that's the best way to describe it.
Okay. Yeah, it kind of looks
I feel like I've seen these in simulation rides before.
Oh, yeah. That makes sense.
Yeah, I think I almost feel like, think honestly, the way I'm imagining this ride, Rise of the Resistance, based on the trailer and the vehicle, and just try to get you guys to kind of understand. You've both written the Harry Potter ride, right? The Journey, whatever it's called.
No.
Yeah, I've never actually been there either.
Okay. Well, for anyone listening who's been on the Harry Potter ride in Orlando or in California, where you get on, like, I guess you're like in a broom. I don't know what you're on. You're on something that you're flying around. You fly through everything, but like you're literally watching scenes and movie stuff. I feel like it's going to be very similar to that ride, but Star Wars. And I almost wonder if you're going to go up and down hills, kind of like a roller coaster or like Space Mountain-ish. Like, I don't think it's going to be a coaster per se, but I think it may have elements like that. Because I can't imagine them, you just being sitting at the feet of these massive AT-STs or AT-ATs that they built. So I'm just really excited to see how this ride turns out.
Like, I feel like I'm such a negative person right now. I don't do well with roller coasters, so I generally don't do them. And even 3D, if the camera movements move too much, I do get motion sickness. So a lot of physical rides for theme parks that I want to go to, I don't actually participate in the physical roller coasters. But the thing with this is, for me, I can go on it, and if I do start getting motion sickness because it decides that we're going to go fly out in an X-Wing or a TIE Fighter or whatever, I can just close my eyes until it's done, and I'll be fine. So at least way, it allows me to still be able to at least try it out.
Mm-hmm. Well, the good news about this is it definitely doesn't look like it's something that would go like a loop, like a pure roller coaster.
Mm-hmm.
Just because there's no over, shoulder strap harness or anything like that. So I don't think it's going to be very crazy. But the reason why,
it's just going to bump and move and twist.
Yeah, and if you've ridden if you've been to Disneyland and you've ridden the Indiana Jones ride, I would compare it probably closer to that than anything else, just because that ride does have only just a single lap restraint on it for safety, and this looks very similar to that. That ride does have 12 seats. This only has 8 per car. I can't imagine them not changing that at some point to add more, or maybe there'll be more and the track will be kind of consistent, like a nonstop movement. Who knows? But we'll just have to see how this ride plays out. But I'm really excited for it overall, because it does have a lot going for it, since it's the premier. This is one of the premier rides, along with Smuggler's Run, in the new Star Wars land. That would be the last thing other than the release of Episode 9, which we know is going to be in December. So, we've talked a lot about Episode 9. Anything else, guys, that you're looking forward to in 2019?
No. I think that sums that up. I mean, that's not to say that something else won't come up later that we're like, oh, that's that weird. Looks good.
Yeah, we'll be excited for it. Anyway, thank you all for listening to another episode of Resistance Radio. Feel free to reach out to us on Twitter at @RRadioPodcast or on Facebook at facebook.com/Resistance Radio Podcast. Remember to visit our Patreon page at patreon.com/Resistance Radio Podcast. And as always, I'm Mikey B.
I'm Caitlin.
And I'm Ben.
May the Force be with you.
And also with you.
And also with you.